Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Our buddy Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback, AM 790 in Houston. Sean, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
Doing pretty well, Sean. I'm doing certainly better than Jason Garrett is at the moment. Do you think he should have been fired today?
You know what? I mean, if you're talking about it's going to happen, or at least if Jerry actually wakes up after all this time, Bullitt has to, right?
I would think.
I mean, I'm not one of them. I know this sounds kind of soft and stuff, but I've been in the business long. Nobody likes to see Ron Rivera's of the world go, but we also understand getting into the business, it's life. It happens. And let me ask you this, and Dustin, is there a time since you've been watching, both of you guys, is there a time when we watch the Patriots, you know, every – third or fourth game, don't we always come out of it and say, man, they won. Man, Bill Belichick, what a huge difference maker is. Whether it was the right play call, a game plan that changed at halftime. I'm being honest now. When was the last time that out of a Cowboys game, and I like Jason, I do. I like him as a person, and he's been a good assistant coach and a decent head coach. When's the last time you came out of a Cowboys game, any time in his coaching career, and said they won because of him?
Yeah, never that I can remember. Never.
So my point is, when they do win, which isn't very often against good teams, and none this year, and that team's way too talented to be floundering in mediocrity, they win in spite of him. And if you're not going to make players better and get them, take a six and make him an eight, and you've had chance, not just like a one-year deal, I'm talking about where you get a chance to put your stamp on him, and it's not. I'm not a big guy right now, honestly, knowing that when you hire an interim coach, what are you going to do, guys? 4 weeks later, you're going to fire him, right? You're going to hire somebody else. I'm not big on, especially when you still got a playoff chance in the putrid East, of firing guys during the season when you know you're going to fire the interim later and you'll have your third coach in 4 weeks. After what I've seen, if you're asking me production-wise, is it warranted? Yes. But I don't think you gain anything by it. Now you just got to rally, hope the assistant coaches get it done. But in order for me that they don't, he just doesn't make them better. And he coaches scared. He does. And when you know, looking over your shoulder, that no matter what you say, that the owner is basically making decisions for you, they can say he's not a yes man. Of course he is. The problem is that Jerry Jones has got to have the guts and finally get rid of his stubborn attitude and hire somebody who will, quite frankly, challenge the boss. Not be disrespectful, but challenge it. And Jason will be a coach somewhere. Don't know where. But if the Cowboys are going to get back to where they need to, there needs to be a whole bunch of shakeup football-wise, and it's going to have to start with the head coach. Players are accountable, too, don't misunderstand me, but he does not make them better. And to me, if I'm the owner, it's got to happen now. The hall pass is the longest hall pass in sports right now.
Sean Salisbury is with us, of course, from Houston. Sean, what do you think about Trubisky, man? It's kind of funny. We kind of wrote him off, you know, early in the season, and last couple of weeks he's looked a little bit better as quarterback there for the Bears.
Dustin, I'm going to tell you, for a while there, I thought I was going to, and it still may happen, I thought people were going to get on me. 2 years ago, remember when we saw Goff had that breakout season with Sean McVay? And so the next year, I was asked the question, we put together, like you guys, I'm sure, do your preseason, you know, prop picks and all that. I said, I thought last year that Trubisky was going to be our breakout quarterback for somebody you didn't expect. And we did. Look at what they went, 12 games, and they hosted a playoff game, and I thought, and he really did make some strides, and I expected more of him. And I promise you, I don't know much. I think I know this position fairly well, but I haven't quit on him. I don't think Matt Nagy's had his best season. I don't think Mark Helfrich, the coordinator, had his best season. I think there's some things that need to work. And sometimes when you get kicked in the teeth enough times, you got two choices: Trubisky, fight back and battle, or believe what everybody's telling you about what you are. There was a reason he was picked that high. And so what he's done is, and I think I've seen a change in the aggressiveness. You've got to have good players around him. Trubisky's never going to be a guy to load him up and he carries you like Rodgers or that group. But I do believe he can be a starter and a really efficient one. So it sounds like he's kind of got a little pissed off and his focus is game in. So I was never one that said trade him or bench him. I haven't been this year. I said, yeah, he's taken a couple steps back, but so has the Chicago Bears coaching staff and the way they've approached offense. So I like the way he stepped his game up. I love a guy more when he gets challenged and answers the call as opposed to a guy who says, I'm not going to answer that phone because somebody else might be on the other line. I'm actually proud of him. I always like these type of stories. Now, Dustin, you know this. You got to sustain it. I got to see it the rest of the year and then go in next year. And you know what else I think he realizes? He's fighting for his job, man. He's fighting for, are the Bears going to draft a first-round guy or are they going to believe enough in him to come back and get something done? This last month for him, he's not going to get the hall pass that some first-rounders get for the next 5 or 6 years. Those days are over now. He's got to step his game up and continue. If he does, the Bears will not draft a first-round quarterback next year.
We're talking with Sean Salisbury, AM 790 in Houston. Sean, just like just when we started to believe in the Browns again, they had won 3 in a row. Freddie wears the dopey T-shirt, and the Browns lose the game to the Steelers and don't make any adjustments and fall apart in the second half. What's your take on both T-shirt gate and their loss to the Steelers?
Well, guys, yeah, I'm trying like, guys, I try like hell to be as honest as I can and also study it as hard as I can without just, you know, throwing stuff against the wall and say stuff like, well, George Kittle's not a good blocker. Okay. I kid, but you get my point, right? I don't want to be a hot dude just throwing stuff out there. I watch him and I asked the question on my show 3 days ago. I said, you guys need to give me over in the sports world and from Monday of this past week till the Monday at the same time last year in the sports world, what's been the most wow factor thing you've seen, I'm not talking about somebody winning 8 gold. I'm just a wow factor that's wowed us good or bad. And the top two, Lamar Jackson's bolt to the top of the MVP race, because you damn well know a year ago at this time, not a soul thought this was going to happen this blatant, this quickly. That was near the top. And the Browns not living up to the expectations was in the top 3 or 4 by all the fans that called in and the rest of the listeners.
Yeah.
So I watch them. And first of all, let me get to the T-shirt. Here's part of the problem, I think. And people can disagree and yell and scream all they want. When you're so focused, and you know how I feel about Baker and Freddie and this whole group, but when you're so focused on the old getting even, and that's on your mind, they hit first, whatever. Well, there was something, the distraction.
Pittsburgh started it.
Yes, they started, right. Guys, I'm just telling you, Denny Green, and I'm just saying it from this, and I think this is the approach they need to have. Denny Green would always tell us, I don't care if the plane's late. I don't care if he didn't sleep well last night. I don't care if the pregame meal is cold. Here's what Denny would do. He'd make sure if the pregame meal was cold by the hotel that served it when we were on the road, they'd know that he was pissed. Behind closed doors. Denny would have never came out and announced it. He didn't want that distraction to be a built-in excuse. I'm starting to wonder if this team allows distractions to creep in too easily.
No doubt.
Rabbit ears. Fred, when your best player, or should be, in my opinion, I believe he's going to be a superstar, I do, in Baker Mayfield. And Freddie Kitchens, who is the leader of your team, when those two guys are at the forefront of listening and hearing everything and feeling like they have to respond to everything, it tells me they're spending too much time on that as opposed to not enough time on a little bit extra. So I'm bothered by that. And it shows in the execution, guys. It is inexcusable for this team to be this inconsistent. And I could go through X's and O's and draw them up. If we had 4 hours and we were on a simulcast, we could see it on TV. I'm just telling you now, and I'll do some stuff on video when the season's over about what they missed. The execution's not there, which I think part of it is, guys, they are too easily distracted by people telling them they're either great or that they suck. That will have to change if the Browns are going to live up to what we all expected. This team had a golden opportunity. They got beat by a third-string quarterback. Good, tough kid. Inexcusable. And you cannot let that happen if you're a playoff-caliber, championship-caliber team. I do not like rabbit ears, and your stars and your head coach cannot have it. That should, matter of fact, he should have been the one that's coached. We're not wearing any of that crappy ass T-shirt stuff. We're not doing that here. This isn't a fraternity house. This is a football team, and that's how we're going to run it. That's
well said.
That's
well said.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah. Yeah. He speaks the truth. That is Sean Salisbury. He joins us on the hotline. Sean, you can follow him on Twitter, of course, because he's great. And those videos you post are fantastic. You speak the truth, and that's what we love. And we love having you on. That's why I'm going to ask you a tough question right now. If the Browns lose to the Bengals on Sunday, should the Browns fire Freddie Kitchens? Sean, they've lost twice this year, Sean, to third-string quarterbacks.
I know. And Dustin, my initial knee-jerk answer is yes. And a lot of it would not have to do with the – it's the other stuff. It's the get distracted too early, the little things that, as you guys know, we ain't building a foundation of a house on sand. We're building it on, you know, concrete or something that we know is going to – you know, you're not building it from the top down. You're building it from the bottom up, the foundation. And you guys know going in, I was a Freddie Kitchens fan. Do I think it's unfair to any first-year coach, head coach, to be kicked to the curb because he's learning how to do his gig? Yes, but I also know that ownership and the right, you're saying, well, have I seen enough to tell me that in 2 years that this is going to change? And Freddie's a smart football guy. But in order to be a head coach, you got to be a CEO. You got to be a babysitter. You got to know X's and O's. You got to trust your staff. You got to trust your players, all those things. If they lose or if they don't make the playoffs and it kind of goes like it's going, you know, Dow Jones in it, up and down. If I was the owner, I would bring him in. I would evaluate him as I would a sixth-round draft choice that made some good plays, missed some games, and did it. He would be evaluated just as hard as a bubble football player, and I'd have to find deep proof because right now I'd be leaning towards, yes, he has to go, and that pains me because I don't usually subscribe to – you're not going to cut Baker Mayfield for having a season that wasn't like last year, right? You're not going to do that. We're going to give him a chance like Trubisky to play his way out of it. We don't do that for coaches anymore. I think it's premature, but I haven't seen enough this year that tells me that he's got total control of and that I know it's going to change. I would be going into the offseason if I keep him. If things don't get drastically different the last month, I would go into the offseason wondering, is this Freddie? Or is this, you know, the old Live or Memorex commercial? Which Freddie is there? And I can't go into a season like that. I don't want to see him go, but if it doesn't get better, I would have to look long and hard into getting some. And I would go to Carolina and think about Ron Rivera, a guy who comes in that worries more about his football team than he does about the stuff on the outside. And that bothers me because I'm a Freddie Kitchens fan, but that's just my honest opinion as a GM or owner type guy.
Sean, we've talked about a few teams who have been surprisingly bad. Let me give you a few teams who have been surprisingly good. Now, I guess you could argue Seattle and San Francisco have maybe been better than we expected, but I think a lot of people expected those to be good. But here's the three teams. Which one's most impressive? The Bills at 9-3, the Steelers at 7-5, or the Titans at 7-5?
And you know what's crazy is that two of those teams are playing with guys that they didn't expect to be playing
at
the beginning of the year, right?
Yep.
I think we can argue this has been one of Mike Tomlin's best coaching jobs, right, guys?
That's right, no doubt.
His arrival. I would say near the top is him, with the Buffalo Bills. While I wouldn't put them at the top, the reason why, I think, aside from the Patriots, the AFC East is fairly weak. And also, I know what McDermott brings. I know their MO, and I know exactly their identity. They want to run it. The quarterback's been really, really improves, it seems, every week, and they got a grasp. And they're going to knock you. I know when a team plays defense and knocks you in the mouth, they'll hang around. So while I'm surprised they're 9-3, I'm not surprised that they're a solid football team, that they're no bye week. And then the last one was who'd you say again?
Was the Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh and the Titans.
You know what? With Mariota and Tannehill, you know, what I love about the Titans is their willingness to adjust to a guy and do what he does well. I think we expected them to be better. I'd probably go Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and Buffalo because I expected Buffalo to be really good defensively. And Tennessee, Tannehill's got experience. But when you're going around and the Browns were supposed to dominate and the Steelers had their Pro Bowl MVP quarterback Hall of Fame guy out and then the backup and you don't know what you're going to do by a guy that 90% of America never heard of until this year and you still got a chance to win the division and make the playoffs – I'm going to say Mike Tomlin's team because, and with the Antonio Brown and Bell gone, injuries to their starting running back, it's probably got to be them. Buffalo is probably the best of the three, but I think Mike Tomlin is doing one of his best coaching jobs. I'll go with him first.
Sean, great to catch up with you as always. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Dustin, enjoy, man. Go Pack. Go Utah. Let's get them into that
Final
Four, brother.
Sounds good, buddy.
See you,
Thank you.
All right, Sean Salisbury.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.